Mike Culligan from the Hockey Writers joins us. Mike, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, Jason. Yeah, making sense of the madness and the chaos of trade deadline day. And I think now that it's all settled, you look at the Penguins, you look at a lot of these teams in the Metropolitan Division, and there are some loaded hockey teams. I think it's going to be about as competitive as we've seen in the playoffs in a while.
Looking at the Penguins, I think lack of scoring depth has been a major issue the last few years in the postseason. Of course, some inconsistent goaltending from Fleury some of those years also didn't help. But lack of consistent secondary scoring, do you think they have enough this year?
Great question. I'm not sure if they do. I know that the third and fourth lines were certainly a problem last year for this team, and they've upgraded. You know, they've brought in David Perron was a top six player, but when you look at recent deals for Daniel Winnick a few days ago, Steve Downey and Blake Como in the offseason, they've reshaped those third and fourth lines. I think they're better, but I don't know that they're quite enough at this point, especially when you compare them to a team like Washington, who has a third line of Blake Fair and Joel Ward that I think is about as good in the NHL right now. And so head-to-head, I don't know that they match up. And they've also got some inconsistent players on those lines as well. You know, Brandon Sutter and Bo Bennett, two players that when they're playing good hockey, they're very talented and capable of putting some goals in the net, but they go through long stretches where they're pretty invisible. And the problem is when you have those two guys potentially off at the same time, now you're looking at a pretty big void in your lineup as far as that scoring punch goes.
Yeah, and I think that's the concern. What is the best line combinations you feel for the Penguins come playoff time? Like, who should Malkin be playing with? Who should Crosby be playing with?
Well, David Perron, I think, has really clicked well with Sidney Crosby from the first game, and that's impressive. That is not easy to do. Not everyone is able to do that, even with lengthy stretches alongside Crosby. So I think that is really set in stone from my perspective. And after that, I think the parts are pretty interchangeable. I don't think you're ever going to have Chris Kunitz and Patrick Hornquist on the same line. Both guys are kind of net front presence, meat and potatoes, simple hockey players that just go to the net, forecheck hard. And so you want to have each of those guys on a line and separate from that. And Blake Como's played his way into the top six this year and become a factor and put in a lot of goals alongside Malkin. So if I had to pick my lines, I think it's going to be David Perron on a left wing, Patrick Hornquist on a right wing opposite of Sidney Crosby on that top line. And then the second line is going to look like Chris Kunitz, Evgeny Malkin, and Blake Como. And I think when you look at that group, it's pretty solid. But as you said, if you have a team that has four really good defensemen that can shut those two lines down, now you're really, really relying on the Penguins' depth that I'm not quite sure is there at this point.
Well, and a lot of times in the playoffs, so sometimes the top six forwards negate one another, and it gets down to those, you know, that third and fourth line. Brandon Sutter and Steve Downey and Spaulding, is that their third line regularly right now?
Daniel Winnick will now play into there, and that's the thing. Winnick gives them additional size. I think size is a factor that they didn't have last year. Size is going to be a huge factor up against Washington or New York, the New York Rangers this year. And Winnick provides them with that size now on the third line. I think they'll bump Downey down a little bit, but Winnick's not a big goal scorer. You know, he's not going to be your third line Brandon Saad that's going to come through and score consistent clutch goals. I think Winnick's going to provide more of a defensive presence. He's going to help on the penalty kill, but I don't think he's going to add a lot of that offensive punch either.
Mike Culligan joins us from thehockeywriters.com talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins. Interesting that Downey, they moved down to the fourth line, right? Like, I know he can be inconsistent, but he's also, you know, he's got some decent finish.
And that's, he's an interesting case. You know, we know his history. He's bounced around to a number of teams. He's been welcome in some cities and unwelcome in others as well. And I think the Penguins have done a good job just trying to get him mentally under control. He's a guy that can fly off the handle at times, and that's dangerous when you get into the playoffs and you've got kind of that loose cannon that's at any moment could take a 5-minute major and really change not only a playoff game but an entire playoff series. And that's what I know the Penguins have worked very hard on doing, is getting him playing a more controlled brand of hockey, but still bringing that edge and that element that he can. They had that same challenge with Matt Cook for a number of years. You know, how do you get these guys to contribute and do what they do so well when really they need to be on the edge and sometimes stepping over the edge in order to be effective. And I think that's always the challenge when you have these types of players. But for the Penguins, I think another factor is they also have some defensemen that can contribute on the offensive end of the ice. New head coach Mike Johnston has encouraged those guys to really join the offense. And so while we're talking about a third and fourth line that may not in its own right have a lot of offensive punch, the Penguins defense and especially some of their younger players have really stepped it up this year and provided, I think, maybe some of that secondary offense that this team is looking for.
Mike, when Ben Lovejoy dresses, that'll be the 12th defenseman the Penguins have had to use this year due to injuries and now, of course, a trade. Where do you see him fitting in? And, you know, what was the reason why they elected that he was a better option than young Simone Dupree?
Well, what's funny about Ben Lovejoy is he was with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Mm-hmm. He came up through the Penguins. I believe he was even undrafted. And so they found him, brought him in, cultivated him through the minor league system, and really was a project that I think a lot of the Penguins management were proud of, in that he became a regular contributor at the NHL level. And they had a logjam a few years ago where they still had Brooks Orpik, they had Matt Niskanen, all the talented defensemen that they had at that time just meant that Ben Lovejoy couldn't find a consistent position. And so he was sent away for a fifth-round pick, and now we're looking at him coming back, and I think the Penguins are going to rely on him to play a pretty significant role. You know, after he went to Anaheim, I didn't watch him quite as much, but I thought he really took another step as far as his career goes, his confidence goes, and he played very well alongside Cam Fowler. And so as far as where he sits, the Penguins have another very good Cam Fowler type of defenseman in Derek Pouliot, a former first-round pick that's really coming into his own this year. I know the team is very high on him. I think he's one of the better young defensemen I've seen in this game in a few years as far as just upside and potential goes. And so I wouldn't be surprised at some point if we see Lovejoy mixed up with him and see if they can get some of that same dynamic going that Lovejoy had with Fowler and Anaheim. I think that's the pair that I'd like to see. And it might happen with Christian Ehrhoff on the shelf right now, struggling with some concussion issues and trying to bounce back. I think Lovejoy's going to get an opportunity to kind of be on that second pair pretty quickly for this Penguins team.
So the defense pairing right now, if everybody's healthy, what is it going to be for the Penguins rolling in for the stretch run and then into the postseason?
Well, number one pairing is Chris Letang and Paul Martin, two players that I think have played very well this year. Chris Letang in particular has really thrived under Mike Johnston's system that encourages players not to think as much. You know, Chris Letang is an instinctual defenseman, and the way Johnston has them playing, it's not overthinking. It's not making too many decisions. That's what Dan Bylsma's, the former head coach's approach was, and we've seen Letang flourish. And so I think that number one pairing is going to be together throughout the playoffs and will be a critical factor for the Penguins' success. After that, if you assume Christian Ehrhoff is back, he'll be on a second pairing. And I think it's up for grabs as far as who plays with them. They've given him an opportunity alongside Pouliot. They've worked well. I think Lovejoy has an opportunity to work himself into that conversation. So I think it'll definitely be Ehrhoff, and they'll be looking for someone to step it up and see where they go from there. But the big reason they got Lovejoy and also Ian Cole in a separate deal was just to get a little bit more experience on that back end. They had some younger guys that are seeing the playoffs for the first time. They're seeing big minutes for the first time. And I think when they looked at the complexion of this group as a whole, they wanted a little bit more veteran experience, and they knew that they could get that in Lovejoy, a guy that's comfortable with Pittsburgh and the type of style of hockey they play, and Ian Cole, a guy who's been in the NHL for a number of years as well, and certainly a little bit more reliable than some of the younger options they have internally.
And quickly, what's the latest update on Olli Maatta?
Olli Maatta, so he had a shoulder surgery that delayed his start to the season, and I think they kind of rushed him back a little bit from that initial injury, and then unfortunately he had some complications that resulted out of that and ended up going under the knife again for a second time to have a surgery. So he'll be done for the season, not going to be back. And, you know, we just talked about what the complexion of that top six defensive group looks like, and I mentioned Martin Letang being a lock. I think Ehrhoff and Maatta was going to be a lock as kind of a second pair, and so that really left a critical hole for the Penguins, because while they can put him on long-term IR and replace his salary, he's still on a rookie contract. So it doesn't really give you a lot of cap flexibility to go out and grab one of the big premier defensemen that we saw tossed around yesterday. And that's why I think Jim Rutherford and the Penguins were really stuck just trying to find some lateral depth moves that maybe give them a little bit of a different complexion or a different look. But it's nothing that's really going to change the shape of this team. And I think they still have a little bit of an issue on that back end. Again, going up against some of these very loaded teams in the Eastern Conference, I think there's some concerns on that defense that they may not quite have enough. And unfortunately, that Mata injury is a big, big factor in that and how it all unfolded.
And you just look at his long-term health and you hope that everything's okay with him moving forward. And lastly, Scuderi, you didn't mention him in the top. Is he going to be kind of a lock then in the third pair? And is that really where he's at this stage?
You know, I wonder. And that's the thing. He's a guy with a couple years left in the deal at over $3 million. And so it's tough to make him a healthy scratch because at that point you're almost getting to the stage of giving up on him. But he's just not playing really NHL hockey on a consistent basis. He's been better this season. I'll give him that. Last year, I thought he didn't deserve to be in the lineup a number of nights. And that's the problem. When you commit multiple years to these older defensemen and they start to lose a step or two, it can really go quickly. And I think we've seen that with Scuderi. He's still a reliable defensive presence. But the problem is he really makes it life difficult for his defensive partner. And so I think with his salary and his situation, the Penguins are probably stuck trying to force him into that lineup and get away with it whenever they can. But I don't think that he's adding a ton of value as far as his age and his contract goes to this Penguin situation. So if he is on that third pair, they'll try to match him up with someone a little bit better than they have in the past. But otherwise, I wouldn't be surprised to see him maybe as a healthy scratch down the stretch here as well.
Mike, always great to catch up with you. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jason. Take care.